doors are closing.
Public transit, that's my way to roll.
On the metro,
I'm taking control. Bus stops, train tracks, it's my daily grind. Transit is the rhythm of my life.
On this episode of Transit Tangents, we continue our discussion about how you can get more involved in your community. We visit Yellow Bike Austin to learn about their mission of supporting the cycling community right here at home. Welcome back to Transit Tangents. My name's Chris.
I'm Lewis.
And today we are joined by Claudia. Claudia is local to Austin and a badass climber. But even more than that, volunteers with a program called Yellow Bike Austin, and we are very, very lucky to have Claudia join us today. So, hi.
Hi.
For those who may not be familiar with the Yellow Bike program, especially here in Austin, can you sort of give a little bit background on the program and what you guys do?
Sure. We are a community bike shop. We've been around since, I want to say, 1996. So we've been here for a long time. We've had several locations around Austin, but been at this location for, I think, about 15 years. And we started out just as a little backyard project. People could come and get help fixing their bikes. And then it's grown over time. We started out as an all-volunteer organization, and we added staff in 2013. And since then, it's just been expanding. So we used to just help people fix their bikes. Now we also have various programs going on, from like donation bikes, sale bikes. So the mission is just to get more bikes into the hands of more people and get more people riding their bikes.
Awesome. I'm curious, can you talk a little bit about like the importance of an organization like Yellow Bike in, you know, a city like Austin? But I know that there are similar programs in other cities as well, in like kind of increasing the level of accessibility for folks. Can you just kind of like talk about that importance a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, cycling can be a little bit of a privileged sport, right? It can be a sport for a lot of people. It isn't a sport if you don't have any other means of transportation. It's a way of getting around. It's a way of life, even for some people. But getting your bike fixed and buying a bike is not cheap. And if you don't have a lot of money and you have a bike and you get a flat, that may be the end of you riding your bike if you don't know how to do it. So a place like Yellow Bike, where people can come and learn all of that information for free, is incredibly empowering. And so what was the question again?
I know, I mean, you've kind of answered it. The importance of like of a place like Yellow Bike,
yes,
in terms of like increasing accessibility,
right,
to folks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially the bike donation programs too. So people can apply for free bikes, and we will make the bikes and give them to them. So we work with a lot of organizations around town that work themselves with groups in need of bikes. So refugee groups and homeless people. And so people can apply for bikes, and we give them free bikes, which is pretty incredible. But you know, it doesn't stop there, because once you have a bike, you also have to know how to take care of it, and we teach people that as well.
Absolutely, and that's actually awesome. What you're getting ready to do here tonight, right? So you've been a volunteer here, and you're kind of getting ready to teach a clinic, right?
Yeah, it's a community workshop tonight, which that's what we've been doing for, you know, decades. That's where people can come in and they can bring their projects. They can either fix their own bikes, they can volunteer to build some of the bikes that we're going to donate. And the community workshops are pretty free form, so anyone can come in and use the shop for free. We've got parts available, used parts for sale, some like new parts like cables and brake pads and that kind of thing. And then we have people like me who know a little bit about bike repair and can help out. So, you know, some people come in and they know exactly what they're doing. They're bringing their own parts. They don't need any help. But a lot of people show up and they have no idea. They've never held a wrench. They don't know where to start. And they come in and they're like, I want to do this thing, but I have no idea what I'm doing. And it's kind of cool being able to tell them, that's okay. We'll teach you everything you need to know.
It happened to me the other day when I needed to tighten my, what is it? The
derailleur
cable
chain.
The derailleur.
There you
yeah,
go.
Thank you. I had to like tighten the cable for the derailleur, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I thought about like waiting till this, and like, that'd be a great workshop.
Yeah.
So you first got involved with Yellow Bike, I think you said in 2011.
2010 or 11. Yeah. I I had bought a used bike on Craigslist, and my roommate at the time was into bike repair, and he looked at it and he was like, that's a great bike, but it needs some work. And I was like, I don't know. Okay, great. Like, and he said, let me take you to Yellow Bike. So he brought me here, and I, you know, saw the space, and I met the people and saw what people do here, and then started wrenching and just fell in love with all of it. The wrenching, the people, and the idea of it. And I was like, after I fixed my bike, I felt like I needed to be part of this. So I started coming to the collective meetings and learning about the organization. And then I became a shop coordinator, which is what I still am. That's where you teach folks. And yeah, and then, you know, we've had a lot of transitioning happening over the years. We started out as an all-volunteer organization, but then figured that we weren't making the full use out of this space because the shops were mostly in the evening. So during the day, the space was sitting empty. So we decided to start paying some folks to build bikes. And I forget how many employees we have at the moment. I think it's like 6 or 7, some full-time, some part-time. But they're here during the day and they do all sorts of amazing work for us. And then, you know, we had to make the transition from being a collective of many people with input to a more well-defined board, a smaller board, a more accountable board. And we're still working on that. You know, it's like we're still dialing that in.
Something we've been kind of talking in our last few episodes about is, you know, a lot more people are starting to care about making biking more accessible, whether it be like to be able to get a bike like Yellow Bike is doing, or even just like safety-wise, you know, we're seeing better bike lanes and whatnot. I just came here down 12th Street here in Austin. I haven't seen it since those new improvements, and like what an improvement it is. And we're kind of seeing those kind of investments, but a lot more people are kind of getting interested in this sort of thing. And folks are kind of wondering like how to get more involved. So you kind of just got involved here as a volunteer. Can you talk about like the idea of like what initially intrigued you about this to actually come and spend your time volunteering, and like advice for other people who might be thinking about doing this sort of thing, but don't know where to start?
Hey, Gondola Gang, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We're going to jump right back in just a second. But first, if you like what you're hearing, we just want to make sure that you are hitting that subscribe button.
Like the video if you haven't done so already. And we also love reading your comments, so please leave a comment. If you're listening, please consider giving us a rating, preferably 5 stars. I hope you think we deserve it, but I'll let you be the judge of that.
I'll take 4 with a comment.
Yeah, so while volunteers are the lifeblood of Yellow Bike, like they are so many nonprofit organizations, and there are different ways in which people can volunteer here. So one is you can come to the shop and you can build bikes or fix bikes, or you can learn how to teach others. But there are also other areas in which we need help. So picking up and delivering bikes, for example, or web stuff, social media, site management, and that kind of thing. On our website, we have a little thing about volunteering, and people can fill out a form and check some boxes and say what type of volunteer activity they're interested in. Mm-hmm. And then we can get in touch with them and tell them more about that. Right. But one of the most common ways is just for people to come to the shop and wrench, but not everybody wants to wrench.
Right.
IT is another area where we're in need of help. So there's a number of things.
I like the terminology to come up and wrench.
Right.
It's just a fun way to say it.
It is.
Through your involvement, can you think of a specific instance where you've seen the impact of Yellow Bike Project on an individual? Any specific stories that sort of stand out?
Being in the shop and being a shop coordinator, that happens all the time. Yeah. You know, like just seeing it click with people when you explain something to them and then they finally get it.
She has opinions.
She does have opinions. Give me 1 second.
Yeah. If you want to bring her over too, it's totally fine.
This is Lilu, Claudia's adorable puppy, chief cuteness officer of Yellow Bike and social media consultant.
Yeah, so helping people fix their bikes and seeing how excited they are at the end of the night when they've gotten the work done and their bike is working and they feel empowered, right? Like, just, and you know, they're grateful. They're like, oh my God, this was so amazing. I had no idea I could do this. Thank you so much. And that happens all the time, but it never gets old. It's really powerful.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, and I think, again, it might seem like a small thing, but for so many people, you know, the bike can mean being able to get a job slightly further away. It can mean, you know, not needing to rely on a bus schedule. It can mean so many things. So it might seem like a small thing to be like, I need to learn how to fix the brakes on this. I need to learn how to change a flat tire. But that small thing can make such a huge impact on somebody's life. And yeah, that's got to be amazing to be able to watch that happen all the time.
Yep. Yeah. And a lot of people come to us through the Earn a Bike program. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but it's also something that we've been doing basically since the beginning. And the idea is that you spend some time volunteering and helping us fix up the bikes that we end up donating. And once you've put in a certain number of hours, you can then go through all the bikes that we have, pick one out for yourself, and fix it up and keep it. And that's, you know, that's usually the people that end up getting more involved often start through Earn a Bike, and then through the process of going through that program, they fall in love with the organization and then decide to come back and get more involved. But it's pretty cool. You know, I'm here every Friday night, and so oftentimes I see the same people every Friday night, and I watch them go through the process, and it's cool to see people's skills improve and people needing less help as they go, because that's the whole idea.
Looking around the yard, and I see a couple of bikes look like they were old B-cycle bikes.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's a little bit of bike recycling going on as well.
Yeah, they gave us all of those bikes because they're turning their whole fleet into e-bikes.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, we don't need these anymore. What, do you want them? We were like, sure, we'll take them.
That's awesome.
They most of them have been maintained pretty well, so we just have to do a few things on them, and then we can go ahead and donate them. We have a long queue of people waiting for free bikes, and receiving a whole fleet of in pretty good condition bikes has helped us get those numbers down.
Yeah, that's great. And for folks who don't know too, the B-cycle bikes are essentially like, you might have heard them referred to as city bike, or like kind of the dockable bikes in a lot of cities. That's pretty awesome that instead of just getting rid of them, they reached out. That's like a super positive outcome for recycling your flight or your fleet, I feel like.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So for Yellow Bike Project, being on the board, if we're looking towards the future, what kind of goals does the organization have for the future?
That is a very good question. And that's actually something that the board is asking itself currently, right? Because we have so many different ways in which we could evolve. And one of the things that we're doing at the moment is we are actually developing a fundraising program, which we've never really had before, because we were always just able to make do with selling bikes. But if we want to be able to do more things, we're going to need money for it. And so developing the ideas of what programs we want to have in the future and having like a way to fund it kind of goes hand in hand. But one of the things we've been wanting to do more of is education, in particular like kids' education. So like after school programs, we started having classes. That's been a fairly recent thing. We've always had a basic maintenance class that was once a month. But over the past couple of years, we've had some really excellent staff, like folks that are just walking bicycle encyclopedias that have been teaching classes to the community. So that's all on the website as well, the different classes that we offer. But we'd like to expand that. I think focusing on the education program is something that we want to do. But there might be some other ideas in the pipeline. It's one of the areas that the board is focusing on at the moment, because it's sort of, a new thing.
Yeah, nice. Very cool.
I mean, unless there's anything else you have to ask, thank you so much for taking the time to do this with us. I'm excited to see some of the clinic as well. If you're watching, you maybe have seen some clips from it already that we've kind of sprinkled in here. But thank you so much for taking the time. If folks want to learn more about Yellow Bike Project here in Austin, want to donate, kind of get involved, is there a specific website or anything that they can go to get more information?
AustinYellowBike.org. We just revamped the website earlier this year, so it's nice and spiffy, and hopefully people can find what they're looking for pretty quickly on there.
Nice. Yeah, we'll make sure the link is in the description wherever you're watching or listening. And seriously, thank you so much. This was great. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You were so good.
For the most part.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huge, huge thank you to Claudia and everyone at Yellow Bike for being so welcoming for our interview. Be sure to check out our Instagram and our YouTube shorts, because we have another really funny story from someone at Yellow Bikes. That's going to be a nice little bonus that wasn't included in the episode today.
Totally.
If you are interested in Yellow Bike program and you don't live in Austin, be sure to check out your city. There are Yellow Bike programs all over the country. They may not be called Yellow Bike, but they're in the similar vein. And you can really go out and support your community by getting involved in these programs.
Totally. And if you're new to biking and you want to learn more about like how to fix your bike, the night we were there, Claudia was actually teaching a little bit of a clinic. So you can kind of go and get access to resources, and they will, you know, teach you how to fix your bike. They're not going to do it for you. They're going to teach you the skills to be able to do so, which I think is super valuable to be able to learn and have that resource available. We did want to take a second here now. We haven't read comments from previous episodes in a while. There's a couple that we wanted to read off. Again, thank you all so much for comments. If you have comments on this episode that you just watched, please let us know. We will read through them. We reply literally to all of them, and we try to read a couple of them. The good news is we've been getting a lot more comments lately because a lot more of you are watching, so thank you for that. So we can't read them all in these, but we like to point out a couple of them. I want to start off on one from our last of our Salt Lake City Transit series, which if you haven't seen that, there is on YouTube, there's a playlist. If you're listening on a podcast app, you can look for the different Salt Lake City episodes. This was our third one, which was how to see Salt Lake City in a day using public transit.
That was really fun.
That was really fun. A really exhausting day. I slept very well that night.
We were a little loopy at the end.
Yes. But pretty awesome. We got a comment from someone named CNJ420. Moved here 2 years ago. After a couple moves around town, we've now landed downtown, like right downtown. This is the best way to live a car-free life here, which we are now doing. So pretty cool to hear directly from someone living car-free in Salt Lake City. We had a lot great comments on that episode, but that one I definitely wanted to point out.
Yeah, all you Salt Lake City folks, Utahns, are really engaged, and we like to see that.
I think there's some fun potential for follow-up episodes there down the line.
I've
engaged with a couple folks on Twitter about potentially meeting up with some locals too. So
And if you want us to come to your city, put it in the comments.
Totally,
because we're looking for cities to go to.
We are.
One of the comments that I got was actually on our micromobility episode of the photos of people in the 1910s and 20s on electric or motorized scooters. Santi Sacrifice, who we know, said it's just crazy how much it looks like AI generated it. He loves it.
Totally. We had a couple fun comments on YouTube on that too, I think.
Yeah.
That was pretty, I mean, we were shocked seeing those also when they first came out, which was fun. This is two on the same episode I'll read here. So this was from our episode with Noah from Streetcraft. First one, love this. Mitchell Barnow said, I can't believe I'm only the 209th subscriber to this excellent and professionally made channel that features you two well-spoken men. I couldn't have said it better myself. If you are not subscribed already, please consider going and doing that.
Take Mitchell's word for
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Mitchell.
And then we had another one on this comment, or on this podcast episode from Noah with Streetcraft. So this was at Angel Zambrano 3192. Great podcast with an amazingly talented guest. My vote is an enthusiastic yes for seeing more of yours and Noah's City Skylines creations. Hope you three collaborate on more soon. This was great.
I think we should. I think it'd be really fun.
We would love nothing more than to have an excuse to play more City Skylines.
Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, we could do a live stream. That would be fun. A City Skylines live stream. I'm dead serious.
You heard it here first.
That would be fun. Stay tuned for that. If you want that, let us know. Angel, we'll ask you for some suggestions on what to do for it.
I also have two more from that episode. It actually came from Shorts. One was from Kelsey, who we interviewed about the e-bikes, the cult of the e-bike. Kelsey said that she loved my I voted sticker. So thank you, Kelsey. Make sure you go out and vote when it is
time to do so in your
community. And then the other one is from Cute Creeper.
Ooh.
Cute Creeper said, we were having a discussion about people who look at bike lanes when they're empty and they say, oh, this bike lane's pointless. There's nobody in this bike lane. Nobody's using it. Cute Creeper said, did they ever consider no one is in the bike lane because the bikers already got where they're going?
Those car drivers are just, they're just jealous that they're sitting in traffic and the bikes probably just buzzed by on their e-bikes or whatever other mode they're using. Well, that's what we've got for comments right now. Unless, did you have any others? Or were you
the last one I had was actually from TikTok. The name is V. Okay. So V, thanks for listening. And it just says, support from this Alabama gal who learned how to love transit. And that was when Tyler and I were exploring Salt Lake City and were explaining our lack of public transit in Alabama.
And the debate over whether it was Alabamian or Alabaman.
Yeah, I figured out that it's
I think you were wrong, right?
It's Alabamian, but Alabaman is the less official one.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
So I wasn't wrong. Yeah. I just...
And we'll find out if... I don't know. Well, thank you all so much for watching this episode. If you've got suggestions for future ideas, too, definitely let us know. You can also follow us online on all of the different podcasts. I don't know what I'm saying.
On all the different podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, everything.
Yes.
We're on all the platforms.
Yep.
Make sure that you are on YouTube, liking the shorts, liking the videos, sharing them. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're subscribed. And then if you would like to leave a comment, please do so. That helps with the engagement. And if you have more that you want to say that doesn't fit in the comment box, go to transittangents.com, fill out the contact form, and we will get back you on that.
That last bit was what I was trying to say.
Okay.
So do that. Thank you all so much for watching. Enjoy the rest of your transit tangent.
See you next time. Yeah, I'm saving that dough.